Good morning, everybody. During the opening hymn, I may have to go back and add his name to the active acolytes list. We'll see. Nice to have you with us this morning, my friends, here at Faith Lutheran Church. Hard to believe we're just zipping right along halfway through the month of April already. But it's good to have you with us this morning. Last week, we talked about the script program. We had our first order that was put in. That order, for those of you that put in an order, it's here today. Make sure that, Yvonne is here both so that you can pick up that order. And if there are some of you that weren't in worship last week that want to inquire what this, and of course we're calling them faith cards, what these special faith cards are all about, she is going to be back there for a little while and can answer your questions because we are going to be putting in another script order next week. Now, it will be another 2 weeks now before any of those are delivered here. We're doing it only every other week for now. So if you're going to be here this week, not here next week, but here in 2 weeks, you certainly are welcome to put an order in. Again, you won't be getting it for 2 weeks, but still, once we get the program up and running, we'll start making sure that we'll be putting in orders every week for that. Because it does benefit the ministries here at Faith Lutheran Church. And for those that have been a part of that first order, we thank every one of you. So just a couple of things. We've got in 2 weeks, we've got a busy weekend. We've got new members who are going to be received in our worship, and we're going to try to do most of that at late, and we're going to make them our guests of honor at our state dinner, and the state dinner follows late church. And yes, we're actually serving steak, but it's not a steak dinner. It is a state dinner for all of you that whatever state you have originally come from, we're going to have people sitting together. And if we have to join two or three states from time to time, so be it. And that will be just a wonderful thing. I've got some brochures ready for that, and we also have tickets that are also ready for that this morning. Barb Hahn is going to be in the midst of taking care of all that, but if you want to purchase your tickets this morning, best thing you do is wait till I'm done to get my gowns off, because we do have the tickets ready to go. That same weekend, on the Saturday night, is when Faith Factor is going to be headed for the Oasis Coffee Spot, which is if you go up to Ridge, up to Little, and then down to the Winn-Dixie Plaza. There's also a McDonald's right there in the midst of that. Way on the north end of that plaza is where the Oasis Coffee Spot is. That will be our next restaurant night out also for those people that join us on Saturday nights, and you're certainly welcome to join us for that too. So night out at the Oasis Coffee Spot, and they will be performing that evening there. Their portion starts at 7:30 on that Saturday night. So a lot of things to look forward to. Our Crosswalks worship continues Wednesday night. We're off to a good start on that, especially now that the conference room chairs have arrived. They've been put together. If you want to go sneak back into the conference room and have a peek at those if you haven't seen them yet, they add a real nice touch to the room. We still have at least a few that are waiting to be adopted by people. $47.50 per chair, $95 for a pair of them. And when you look at these chairs, this is an amazing chair where we're getting two of them for less than $100. So consider doing that for us. And the last announcement that I have is that we try to have a vacation Bible school every year. It's been taking different forms. We've been having it at different times on the calendar. But still, it's something we certainly would like to do. Last year, we had a one-day VBS in the park. It was a very hot day, and maybe we don't repeat that. But we need somebody that would like to kind of be the director for that. It is something in which, as God's people, it's one of our ways to reach out into the community to try to get as many people as we can to at least see what the experience of being in the Word of God and all the things that we do there is all about. So give consideration to that, and you can come and see me or Jerry Brock, or just there's a number of us you can come and see if you'd like to take interest in that. Finally, this morning, please let us know that you were here. Fill out the Faith Fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you. So as you are able, please stand. Our order of worship this morning is based on Divine Service Setting 4 from page 203 in our Lutheran Service Book. There are parts that you, if you need the musical notes, you will need the hymnal. Otherwise, you may follow along on the screen. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority. I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. We pray this prayer together. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be.
Today's readings from Holy Scripture are appointed for the third Sunday of Easter. Our first lesson is found in Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse 11. As we continue our series of first lessons from the book of Acts, we hear the story of Peter proclaiming repentance and forgiveness to the crowd following his healing of a lame man. St. Luke writes, while he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. This is the word of the Lord. Our second lesson is found in 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. God has loved us and called us his children. The evangelist writes, See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you here anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Friends, as Jesus has reminded us, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. You are witnesses of these things. Friends, I don't know how many of you are really into the concert scene. And even if you're into the concert scene, how many of you have really had the chance not only to go to a concert of somebody really famous? I mean, hopefully we get a chance to go to municipal bands and the types of things that are really fun to go to. But I'm talking about some of these things, these concerts, that they're really, really expensive to get into. I mean, it is breathtaking how much going to some of these concerts anymore would cost. And for a sum of money you would consider somewhere between expensive and extravagant, you get to sit somewhere near the back row. But sometimes you are in a position where not only do you get to enjoy the concert from a special venue, but you also get a chance to even go, shall we say, backstage and meet this famous person and get a chance to see what life is like when the spotlights of the concert are not turned on. I don't know how many of you have really ever gotten a chance to do that, but my guess is that most of you that have probably got to do it after the concert. There's something about that. Okay, concert's over. We can kind of relax a little bit. But if you've ever had the chance to see somebody who would be considered somebody famous, if you've ever seen them before the lights come on, a lot of times what you see will somewhere between surprise you, and I don't know what you would expect, but it's almost like there's the expectation that the person isn't going to be much different with the lights on than with the lights off. After all, one of the things that these people do is whatever it is that they do it so well that they make it look easy. They make it look like anybody could do it, even though it's hardly an easy thing for people to do. Whether you're a famous singer and now you're on tour, and you're traveling every day, and you're giving a concert almost every night. And look, you folks, most of you have traveled. And you know what travel does to you. Travel wears a person out, and yet you get to your destination a little bit worn out, and what do you got to do? You got to go under the lights and perform a concert, and then you get to do it again the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And if you think that's easy, think again. There are some people, there was a famous basketball star from years and years ago that nobody, when the lights was on, lit up and did what he did better than he did. In the various venues that he played basketball in, he was regarded as one of the best that was out there. But before the game, you wouldn't be able to get near him. He would actually have one of the team managers sit both in front of him and beside him, whether preparing whatever the things are that they're supposed to be doing, but basically serving almost as guards to make sure that nobody is going to bother him. He would be preparing himself, just spending whatever time he needed to prepare himself for what he knew he had to do. The smile that often accompanied him, or that look of determination, was not there. Just a very, very quiet, a person that looked withdrawn, introverted, almost unapproachable. That is, until the lights came up. And then at that very moment, you got to see just how special he was. Well, friends, as I look out and see God's people here, perhaps a lot of us have had the knowledge of the glory of God and what he has done through his Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross, risen from the dead, ascended into heaven. Maybe that's been a part of us all of our lives. Maybe we have always had that message in our hearts, have always had that message on the tip of our tongues. But for those that haven't, I'm just wondering if maybe somehow the gospel impresses us the same way. Because you see, Jesus said to us, as he said to his disciples, you are witnesses of these things. Oh, they got to see it. We see with the eyes of faith, but still, the moment comes in our lives when the lights come on, and that which we are witnesses of faith to, now we have to do something with it. And what exactly are we going to do? Well, first of all, we have to see what it means for the lights to come on. In the case of Jesus' disciples, he had to open their minds to understand the scriptures. And we see and hear a number of things that Jesus does. Breathing on them to receive the Holy Spirit, opening their hearts and minds so they could understand the scriptures. Then comes that Pentecost miracle, tongues as a fire. The Lord had to do an awful lot to get the light to come on in these disciples. But once it did, that light shone like few other lights have. They were even able to declare the glories of God in languages that they had not learned. I'm not suggesting that that's what's going to happen to each one of us, but we need to be prepared in life, because there are times with a simple question, a simple person that really is in need. And here we are, God's chosen instrument to be able to provide something special. What are we going to do? Well, it would help for us perhaps to realize what the disciples had to face. Because the disciples, just remember, this was another part of that Easter Sunday night. And the account in Luke, since we really, even though this is the Mark year, there really isn't anything in Mark that talks about what happened after the resurrection. So they divide the story that's in Luke into two parts. This is the second part. The first part starts Easter afternoon with two of Jesus' disciples, not the 12 apostles, but a couple of other disciples walking on a road to a village called Emmaus. When a stranger comes up and joins them, asks them why their faces are so sad, wonders what it is that they've been talking about. And they're one of those people that must have done one of these where you've got to be kidding, aren't you? Are you trying to tell me you don't know? But that person did know. And he started explaining to them everything that was in the scriptures and how that was to be fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And it was. And then, you know, right when they finally recognized that it was actually Jesus himself, at that moment Jesus disappears and these disciples decide they got to go back to Jerusalem and tell somebody what happened. They got to go back to the 12, and so they race back to Jerusalem, and they're telling about this story, and the apostles told them, well, yes, Jesus has risen from the dead. In fact, he appeared to Peter. It's the only mention we have that the first of the apostles to see Jesus was Peter, and we're told nothing more about it. And then it was at that moment that Jesus appeared to them. That was the first light that came on, that he's real. That what it would appear must have been something else like a ghost. No, this is real. See my hands, touch my side. And oh, by the way, here's a piece of broiled fish. A spirit cannot consume food. I can. But he had to turn on a different light for them. And to get that light to turn on, he had to work them past certain things. And I guess we're kind of in the same boat. You know, sin is a part of all of our lives, but one of the ways that we underestimate what sin has done for us is how it surprises us. We get ourselves to the point where, yeah, we've got our sins and our weaknesses and our things that we know we probably should not be doing. It's a weakness we're going to be fighting the rest of our lives. But sin has got a way of creeping in a place where we never thought it would ever be a problem. And it brings a darkness into our lives that sometimes we may be convinced no light can ever penetrate. But the light of Jesus can. And it allows us to see things that we had never seen before. Now I know for a fact that the people that are sitting here, there are certain things that they can see with their eyes that no one else can see. For example, I'm up here very close to the front of the church, and I'm looking way to the back of the church to where there are some things that we haven't used in a long, long time back in the choir loft. There are people that would be able to spot certain things from here in an instant, even from way up here to way back there. Things like, ladies, dust, cobwebs. Oh, you couldn't miss that stuff if you tried. And so by the same token, you know, we have people from back there, and if there's a cobweb up here somewhere, you're going to see it. My thing is has always been burned out light bulbs. I can spot one a mile away. But still, we can see things with our real eyes that maybe it's there for other people, they just don't notice, they don't care. But with the eyes of faith, we also need to be able to do the same thing. We have to see and be able to react to what other people cannot see. When the light of the love of Christ comes into your heart and turns on, now all of a sudden, it requires a response. And who knows what that response is going to be? A brother or sister that's going through a really tough time of life, that could use a friend, a phone call, a short little note or card, a person who has been struggling in different ways and hasn't had a decent hot meal in a long time and would really appreciate one. The list goes on and on, but most of what we have and we can share and we can see, hopefully, with the eyes of faith is when somebody needs the message of what Jesus has done for them. And friends, there is a vastly dark world out there that needs that light, that has gotten themselves to the point where they're in such darkness that they cannot see even to try to figure out where a light might be. And we bring the light of Christ in, and even if they've tried everything else in their life, they'll reach a point where, yes, the door will be opened. You know, as the people who, as I mentioned before, who have gone through some of these concerts and then all of a sudden the lights come up, and whether their job is to be entertainers and they got the big smile on their face and they start doing the things that they do, or that whatever it is that they're talented in, they start to do, they understand that that is what they are called to do. For some of them, they're paid quite handsomely to do it, and to do it as well as anybody could ever do it. Well, I got news for you. Nobody is paid more for the light that has come on inside of each of us than you are. Because you have had your sins forgiven, and you have been given the promise of life everlasting through faith. That's worth more than all the currency that this world could buy. You might be interested. At the beginning, I told you about somebody that basically was somebody that didn't want anyone near him until the lights came on. And after he was done, oh yes, he would shake hands, sign autographs, smile, do whatever it is he had to do for as long as he had to. And whether you understand it or not, this person really actually is in the Basketball Hall of Fame. You might remember him for something, you know, basketball, but not quite what you're thinking. How many of you recognize the name of Meadowlark Lemon? A person from the Harlem Globetrotters from years and years ago. And he's the individual that was like that. He was also a man of a deeply convicted faith. A man who also understood that what shone from his face was not only the light that said how much he appreciated being able to do what he did every night, but how much it meant to him that Jesus had touched his life. Friends, the lights are going to come on for us. An opportunity for us to share the love of Christ. May we have that same love, that same determination, that same willingness, that same anxiousness and zeal that when the lights come on for us, to tell people about Jesus, we're ready. We're ready to show them the hope that is in our hearts. We're ready to tell them that what we have, they also can have. And we're ready to share with them that same light can shine in their hearts as it has shone in ours. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And at this time, we confess our Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's on the screens or always on the inside back cover of the hymnal. Please stand as we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We receive our offerings. You may be seated. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, Heavenly Father, mighty in power, infinite in majesty, the creator and preserver of all things to the very limits of space, we thank you that you have glorified your Son Jesus by raising him from the dead. Give us the blessings of that limitless grace, that as the light of faith has turned on in our lives and in our hearts, we may be able to also shine that light into the hearts and lives of others, Lord, in your mercy. We praise you that you have transformed the darkness of what was the sadness of the crucifixion into the joy and victory that was found in that through the resurrection. Help us that we may always be able to see the light of Christ's promise of eternal life, to believe it with joy, to rely on it with confidence. Fill us with the assurance that one day our eyes will also see him when finally he receives us and all believers into the kingdom in which we have served as his witnesses, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Make the empty tomb the source of all inspiration and power to your church, O Lord. Fill all believers with the genuine desire that we may always preach Christ crucified and risen, that we may show it in the gladness of our lives, in the faithfulness of how we carry out our everyday duties, of how it is that we see ourselves to the various vocations that you have blessed us to, and how it is that we interact to those who do not know you. Bless each of your people, dear Lord, and bless us as we gather together as a congregation in our district, in our synod, and throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless our land also with your continuing favor. Give us governments at the national, state, county, and local level which maintains liberty, upholds justice, seeks righteousness, curbs lawlessness, and uses its authority with courage and high principle. Move all Christian citizens to understand and accept their lawful obligations and to do their duties cheerfully, giving respect to those in authority, honor to all, and a remembrance to the sacrifices that are made, especially by those who serve as first responders, our police, firefighters, and also those that serve as paramedics and also who serve in the military. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give your divine comfort to the sick, the sorrowful, the brokenhearted, and the distressed. Free us from all fear of death and the unknown. Fill us with patience in every test and trouble. We now lift up before you someone in our own lives that is in need of the help and strength that comes from you that we name before you in a moment of silence. Enable us to receive these things, even them, as blessings with love and gratitude. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. By his death, he has redeemed us from bondage to sin and death. And by his resurrection, he has delivered us into new life in him. Grant us to keep the feast in sincerity and truth, faithfully eating his body given unto death, and drinking his life's blood poured out for our salvation until we pass through death to the promised land of life eternal. Hear us as we pray in his name the prayer he taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Our service concludes with the closing collect in the middle of page 8. Please stand as we pray together. O God, through the resurrection of your Son, you began the restoration of all things. Enliven your people with the joy of repentance that is ours as your beloved children. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.